Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh and maybe Iris Farm as well. Is daf Tet Vav. Beautiful. And we're holding on daf Yudalad Amud Beis right at the Halakha Mishnah. And even the birds are singing. They're so happy to get to this Halakha Mishnah. So that, let's just remember, we're in the middle of this major machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel on the one hand, and Rabbi Yeshua on the other hand, about when we will rely on a chazaka v'cheskas kashrus l'kahuna. Does it need to be coupled with a tainas bori? And together with a tainas bori, if you have a migo. So would you be able to then rely on the chazak? And now Rabbi Yeshua, up until now, we didn't see any grounds for him to give way because he held that there's a gezeira, that even in cases where it looks like we ought to follow mitzah the ikar adin, we ought to follow Rabbi Gamliel. I mean, for heaven's sakes, we have a bori against the shema, and we have a migo to boot, and a chazak of cheskas kashrus. So if we would follow the din, kipshute in achinami, but according to Rabbi Yeshua, we have this new concept of the Rabbanan making a gzeira when it comes to the dinim of yichus for the kuhuna. Okay. Today, all of a sudden, we discover an actual maisa shahoya that leaves us scratching our heads because we don't understand within the context of the machlokasin that we just saw. We simply don't understand what in the world is going on because it doesn't seem to keep to the guidelines that we learned until now. And because of it, we discover a new idea that we haven't thought of until now, which up until now, remember, we ignored even the din of rov. That was an important nekuda. We said, according to those who are machshir, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, even if rov were psulim, they would be machshir. Because they're relying on the chazaka, ultimately, together, obviously, with the Tainas Bari and so on. And those who are Machmir, namely Rabbi Yeshua, he would say even of Rov or Kesherim. Again, that's because of the special halacha that we said, Ma'ala Asubi Yuchasim. It's not just a chumrah note. The idea of Ma'ala Asubi Yuchasim is a Ma'ala. Meaning that by doing this, we are upgrading the concept of yichus v'kahuna. So you shouldn't look at it as a standard chumrah. It's not a chumrah in terms of the din. It's just we stand for higher standards. It's like, what's that that non-kosher kosher in America?
International. Yeah. The answer to a higher authority.
That's right. So even goyim want to eat the so-called kosher meat of Hebrew National. Because Malasu, we answer to a higher authority. Very good.
That's because they want to be friends.
It takes me 10 minutes to figure it out. You know, it's not worth it because I'm not smart enough, and then we delay things. Okay, so today let's take a look at the events that confuse us and see what we can discover. So. Is Richie here? Richie's not even here. My goodness gracious. All right. So the Halakha Mishnah begins. Omer Rabbi Yosi. I didn't call on Doc either because, you know, it's the beginning of the daf. We don't usually do it. Omer Rabbi Yosi. Ma'aseh b'tinoket, she'ardala malot ma'im in a'ayin, v'nensa. So it's this story about this kid who went to get some water out of the well, and she was raped when she went down there. Omar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, well, if Rov Anshei Ha'ir are Masi'in Lekuna, Arezo Tinase Lekuna. Basically, let's take a look at the Rov. If the Rov is kosher Lekuna, so then we assume that the rapist came from the Rov, and therefore she remains kosher Lekuna. Fine. Now, this, of course, is very problematic. Omar Le Rov Le Rav Nachman, everything that we've seen until now doesn't make sense in terms of this Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Who in the world is he going according to? I mean, I understand he may be a whole brand new Shita, but then why wasn't he brought together with the machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua? I mean, like, I'm assuming he fits into one of the approaches, either Rabbi Gamliel or Rabbi Yeshua's approach. So then explain to me, does he hold of Rabbi Gamliel? Remember that Rabbi Gamliel said that Rov is irrelevant. We said that beferish. Man de machshir is machshir afilu beruba psuli. Because what he's doing is he's being semich on the chazaka, and he doesn't need any Rov, and he has a chazaka to get, wait a minute. He has a chazaka together with a Tainas Bori and Amiga. What the heck? What's the Gemara even asking over here? Rabbi Gamliel never said it's kosher just because it's a chazaka. Rabbi Gamliel says it's kosher in the event that she Tainas Bori. So what is the Gemara asking? So Tosis explains that the point is like this. You could try to make it work out. We only have one shita that says that it's ever kosher, which is Rabbi Gamliel. So fine, so that you want to make it work out according to Rabbi Gamliel, insert all of the necessary clauses, okay? The child says, I know who the rapist was. Okay, so she's a bori. Fine. And basically we have the chazaka over here for the kahuna. So in other words, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri must have taken into consideration some other issues. So let's assume that this was one of the cases that Rabbi Gamliel would have been matir. But then he would have been matir without a rov. So why did Rabbi Yochanan say it's a rov? And on the other hand, if he's going up like Rabbi Yoshua, why is he matir at all? Didn't Rabbi Yoshua say that even if you have rov ksherim, it's also possible? So then he doesn't make sense in terms of the entire way we've understood the Mishnayos up until now. So therefore, I am left scratching my head. Omar Lay, so Rav Nachman said, let me explain it to you. You have to understand that there's some background material here, which is very important. And because of that, the entire situation changes. What it's talking about over here is Hachi Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. And this is Rav's approach to the Mishnah. That what we're discussing is Bikrono Chatzipori Haya Ma'aseh. So basically, there used to be a fair in which merchants would come from all around, and they would travel in their Winnebagos, and they would just gather together, and then they would add whatever they were selling, they put it out, and people would come, and this was outdoors, and this was the Krono Chatzipori, and it happened there. And the reason that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was matir is going like Rabbi Ami. Because Rabbi Ami explained that there's an entirely different issue, which is that if you have two separate roves, and we're going to try to understand later what in the world is the difference, how many roves you have, if we said that rove is not even important. But anyway, somehow or other, Rabbi Ami said that if you've got two separate roves, that in that case, Rashi understands this to mean that in that case, Rabbi Yoshua would also be made, and that we did not make a mala biyuchasin in a case where you have two separate robes. So what are the two separate robes? One is the robe of the city, and the other one is the robe of the Winnebagos, of the people coming in there to the Krona Sheltzipori. Put the two together, and over there, even Rabbi Yoshua is willing to go ahead and say that it's kosher. Okay, this is Rashi's approach. And according to Tosus, the idea over here is, Barnea has just posted all of the details of the Krona Shalkori, Yotzipori. Anyway, the question of whether if that's the case, then maybe we wouldn't even need a Tainas Bori, a Liba de Rebbe Gamliel, or a Liba de Rebbe Yoshua. And maybe the idea over here is it could work out according to anyone if you have two roves without the Tainas Bori. All of this is unclear exactly how far we're ready to go with this new idea of the Trey Ruby. But meanwhile, we don't even understand how exactly does Trey Ruby change anything. I mean, the bottom line is it's the same idea that most people are kosher. And until now, we said we don't care if most people are kosher. And the whole idea was, even Ali ben Rabbi Yoshua, that anyway, we were going to make a mala b'yuchasin. And by the way, this is not, I mean, this is like other people understood this also, because you see that they took for granted it was talking about Winnebago Day, because like Rabbi Yonai said, Rabbi Yonai said, well, if she was raped in the Winnebagoes, then she's Kshera Lakuna. What? Bikronos? I understand what's the difference if she's raped in a Winnebago or she's raped out too. I don't understand what you're talking about. Bikronos, Alkadaitach, what, it really makes a difference? No, no, that's not what Rabbi Yonai meant. Rabbi Yonai meant that if she was Nivelet at the time that the Winnebagoes are out there, so then that's the only case where Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri said that she's kosher, and that's because we have the two roves. We have the rove in the city, and we have the rove in the Winnebagoes. Fine. So what would be if we know for a fact that somebody from Tzipori came out, and it wasn't somebody from the Winnebagoes. We know for sure that it was someone from town. So then, even though we have a rove in Tzipori that is kosher lakuna, that would mean that we only have one rove. Is somebody not, I'm getting, Mordechai, we caught you. Uh-huh. Okay, so, in that case, even if we do have Winnebagoes there, but we could effectively cancel the Winnebagoes because we have a drone shot of somebody coming out of town who committed the rape. So we don't have to take into consideration the Winnebagoes. So over there, even though we have Rove of Tzipori, which is kosher lakuna, it still wouldn't be okay. And some say he didn't need, we don't need Rav Dimi. We have a direct report. Rav Zeiri quoted Rabbi Chanina, Holchin acharov ha'ir ve'in holchin acharov si'a. That we dafka follow the rove of the people in Tzipori or in a city, but we don't follow the rove of the caravans. Now, this is based on taking for granted a very important fundamental fact, which is the first opening that we have to understanding what is going on. There is a tremendous difference between Winnebagoes and a city. And what's the difference? The difference is that Winnebagoes drive around. So who cares? I care. Because the din is that if something is in a city or it's permanently emplaced, then the klal is kol kavua kemechza al mechza. So wherever you have something that is locked into place, there is no din of rove. That would be why we would have to ignore the rove of the city. Masha'inken, if we would know for a fact, l'chora, that we have somebody who came from the Winnebagoes, so then we would be able to go according to the rove. In which case, this statement of Rabbi Chanina is insane, which the Gemara says, Klapi Laya, where the heck are you moving over here? It's exactly the opposite. How could you say that we'll follow the rove of the city when the rove of the city is Kavua, and we won't follow the rove of the Winnebagoes, which is not Kavua? That's the exact opposite. Hani Naide, Winnebagoes can drive around. The people in the city, they stay in one place, and that's kavua, and therefore there's no rove. So Rabbi Chanina is backwards. Unless what Rabbi Chanina meant was like this, that hochin acharov ha'ir, but only if you have the rove of the Winnebagoes together with the rove of the ear. That's what it meant. And we don't know who it was that raped her. In other words, we don't have any drone shots, in which case we can put the two together, but we would not be able to follow the rove ha'ir, and we would not be able to follow the rove of the Winnebagoes all on their own. So what Rabbi Chanina meant when he said that we don't go according to one rove, he meant for sure we don't follow the rove even of the Winnebagoes. Kol Shekein, we're not going to follow the rove of the people in town, because over there is no rove, since it's called Kavua Kemechza Al Mechza. So now, why is it that we will not follow the rove of the Winnebagoes? And now, for the first time, we begin to understand this idea of how it is that the rove isn't taken into consideration unless we have two roves. Basically, my timer, Why not follow a rove? I understand. All over we follow a rove. If we know that it was the rove of the Winnebagoes, that's because we have a gezeira rove si'ah or to rove ha'ir. Look, how many people understand this difference of ko kavua kamechza al mechza dami? And if we would paskin that just because there is a rove, then people will think, okay, well, what's the difference if the rove was a rove of Winnebagoes and she wasn't in a city, or the rove was a rove of a city? I mean, I remember hearing in the Beis HaMedrash that you can go according to the rove. The reason that we say that we do not follow a rove, according to Rabbi Yoshua, all along, was the mila that we made b'yuchsin. Was it? I mean, obviously, we'd like to have a mila b'yuchsin, but as we've explained so many times, a mala b'yuchsin, or a specific desired result of a derabbanan, cannot be achieved just because by fiat we want to achieve that result. You can't just say mala asu b'yuchsin. There always needs to be a mechanism. What's the mechanism for this idea? The mechanism is very straightforward. And perhaps we would never have thought of this if we did not have a desired result in mind, namely that we want to make a mala b'yuchsin. But since we do have a logical reason to make that mala, what's the logical reason? It's easy to get confused if we tell people that you can rely on a rove, so that then they would not be able to distinguish between a rove in the city or a rove in the Winnebagoes. How many people would be understanding of that? In order to avoid that confusion, we said you cannot rely on a single rove. Ever. That's the point. So if you have the two of them together, then everybody understands there's no way to get mixed up. You need to have one rove of people that are passing by, that are not kavua, and you need to have another rove of people that are in the town, so that even though they don't understand it, but the bottom line is there's a mechanism here in place which does not allow us to get the desired result. Because you can't logically say, well, we'll make a mala on Yuchsin, and out of nowhere, we'll answer her for the kuna. How can you answer her? Well, maybe people will get confused. How can they get confused? We told them that you can only rely on a rove when there will always be Winnebagoes present. So there's no way for them to make, and they know it can't be because of that rove alone. Because we forced them to ignore the rove of the city if it was just the city, or the Winnebagoes, it was just the Winnebago. So then by definition, they're only going to be matir when there's no chashash. So how can we make an iser? That's the point. So at last, things seem to be clearing up now that we understand why it is we were ignoring the rove up until this point. Well, I mean, why wouldn't we be willing to say that even where you've got a rove of the city, why can't we basically say like this, that in a case, which is the case over here, the rape takes place at this well, which is outside of the town. So now, whoever comes and rapes her, he basically has left town in order to do what he's doing, lying in wait for poor little girls that are getting the water at the well. What you gonna do when the well runs dry? So in that case,
it's a spring. They sent you the exact location. We passed by it. It's one of the famous things to point out on the way up in Sequoia.
Wow! Amazing! What a wonderful touring site. The rape Ladiris. My gosh, those poor guides in Rome, what do they have to say? Nothing. What are they going to say in Athens? What do they know?
But Rebbe, you learned it in high school. You drive by it. This is the place. It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Beautiful. We're still putting in our Barnea tour reservations, but we never get any response. Okay, anyway. So why don't we say that called a parish, miruba kaparish? Remember, when we talk about kavua, kavua is only when it needs to be defined in situ. But if something leaves the city, then we have the standard halacha. If it left from a rov, then we don't look at it as kavua, because it's no longer kavua. It was parish from the kavua. It's now outside. So then why do we really have this problem at all? Why only where we have these two roves? Why can't we just go according to the rove of Tzipori? Because, now, Rashi's giras is a much better girsa, which is ika de ka'oz legabe. Namely, that since it is possible that basically a woman would be raped in a different way, in which, or even maybe she wanted to have relations with this guy, right? Or what if he kidnapped her and took her back home? And now we have the rape taking place in a mokum kavua. So we can't rely on that. Again, remember that we're really looking for a mechanism to achieve the desired result of the yuchasin mala. So we don't have to ask ourselves, well, how likely is that? And that's not the point. The point is that in order to avoid any issue that would have affected yuchasin in the event that it took place, because of that, we were oisin mala. That's perfectly understandable and is not trying to just say something by fiat. That's the issue. So because of that, since Ika, the Ka'azil of Gabayev, says Rashi, then it would have been Kavua. And remember, of course, we've been assuming this all along, is that as Rabbi Zera explained, Kol Kavua, Kemerza, Merza, and that's it. We need two roves. That way we always avoid any kind of problems. Since when do we need two roves? I don't understand. I mean, as far as I know, we always go according to the rove. Tanya Tesha Chanuyot Kulan Mochrot Basar Shchuta V'Achat Mocheret Basar Nevela. Now, obviously, at this point, the Gemara doesn't understand that this is all in order to achieve the Mala Asu B'Yuchsin. We're taking that for granted because we already learned that that's the whole basis of Rabbi Yeshua. Right now, the Gemara is looking at this naively. Just examining this Mishnah, it appears that we don't go according to a rove unless there's two roves. I never heard of such a thing. Well, what about the famous case where you've got nine stores in town selling kosher meat and one store selling non-kosher meat, and somebody walks into one of the stores, a tourist, and he says, wow, this is an amazing city. Everything is kosher. Well, not quite everything. There's always that non-kosher store. Uh-oh, the guy says, non-kosher store? Did I buy from a kosher store? I don't know. Did you look at the Heksher? What store did you buy from? I don't know. I can't retrace my steps. I have no idea where I was. I thought everything was kosher. So there the halacha is that it's not kosher. Why not? There's only one store out of all the stores that are selling non-kosher because it's kavua. That's the point. Eino yodea mezem lakach. It's usher to eat that meat. But if you find a piece of meat in a bag in the park that somebody left behind on a park bench, then you're allowed to eat it. Why? Because it was parish from the store, and the question did not begin in the store proper. Therefore, in that case, there would be no problem. Why doesn't it say we need two roves? Why doesn't it say there are Winnebagos that are selling kosher meat and non-kosher meat, and we need to have, I don't understand. V'chitema, maybe you'll tell me, well, I mean, that's talking about a case where the daltot ha-medina are wide open. So basically, people could be coming in here from all over. You've got Winnebagos coming into town, Bepashtas, and people are always selling their wares out of their Winnebagos. So the ka'ati le ruba mi'alma. But Rabbi Zera said, no. This idea of the case where you rely on parish is afapisho daltot medina nu'ulot, even if no traveling salesmen are allowed in town and everything is from the stores in town, it's still the same halacha. So how do you explain that? Answers the Gemara, for heaven's sakes, we're not talking about a general rule about rove. This is a special case. Remember that all along the only problem that we had was that we were trying to achieve the Mala Asu B'Yuchasin, according to Rabbi Yoshua. So because of that, again, this is that Rashi's learning the whole sugya is assuming that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was following that approach. So according to that, we were searching for the mechanism of Mala Asu B'Yuchasin. Obviously, for kosher meat, we're not, trying to achieve some kind of end over there. So as long as Lamaisa you have a roof to be Samechan, I'm going to be Geyser. Maybe someone will get mixed up between the case of buying in the store, out of the store. That's not a reasonable Gezerah, and we're not going to make such a Gezerah. We only made such a Gezerah in order to achieve an end. And again, this is such an important Yesod that this is the way the Rabbanon work. We first consider what needs to be achieved. Then we consider how to achieve it. And this is true even Bizman Hazeh. First, we need it. For instance, you're talking about the question of using electricity on Shabbos. Okay, so first, everyone decided we need to achieve a reason for not using electricity. But we need to achieve, rather, the fact that people won't use electricity on Shabbat, because then there won't be any Shabbat left, for heaven's sakes. What happens when you finally don't have to worry about Shabbat at all? Hey, Alexa, shut up. I don't mean you. Hey. So, hey, Alexa, turn on the lights in the bedroom, will you? Hey, Alexa, turn up the air conditioning. Thanks a lot. So what happened to Shabbos? Kaput Shabbos. All right. So therefore, we need to... I don't need anything. You can't... Don't worry about it. Be quiet. Alexa, be quiet. It's hopeless. No matter what name you say, I don't dare say the other name. Anyway, so because of this, we need to find a reason. We can't just say, we hereby prohibit you from using electricity on Shabbat. Okay, so everybody goes to town. What is the reason that you can't use electricity? Whatever it is. Right? So there's ways we can be machmer in this fashion, machmer in that fashion. But the concept is a very important concept, that this is the way the mishmeret of Torah, bichlal, does not allow us to do anything that is arbitrary. It always has to be because of a chashash of X, Y, or Z. But it's always in context of the need. And this is especially true according to the Ritva's understanding, remember, of the idea of an esmachta. That every esmachta is a hint that the Torah is giving us, that this is what the world has to be like when necessary. Now, it may not be necessary yet in your time, but 1,000 years from now, it may be very necessary. Therefore, the Torah gives us the guidelines of what life should look like, and it's up to us to see to it that life ends up looking like that. Very important, Nakuda. Okay. So therefore, this idea over here is Mala Asu B'Yuchsin. Now let's get back to the very idea of Kol Kavua Kamechtzal Mechtzadami. Goof, Amr Rebizin. Kol Kavua Kamechtzal Mechtzadami, and this is true whether that, now this is a very important addition. We didn't say this before. This is true whether that leads to a Kula or that leads to a Chumra. Either way. Now, the question is, okay, how do you know that? Now, I mean, you'll say, what do you mean, how does Rabbi Zera know that? I mean, that's the Brisa we just learned, isn't it? The difference between buying in this store or between finding a package on a park bench and utilizing that, right? So can't that be the source of Rabbi Zera? One store is selling the Vela meat and he buys from one and he doesn't know which one. And if you find a bag on a park bench, then benim tzalech acharov, no, because all that proves is that to be machmir, we say kol kavua kamechtzal mechtzadami. You just said we can even be makel based on kol kavua. Show me. Ella, okay. What about the case of tishat svar deim v'sheretz echad b'nehem? How about a case like this? We've got 9 froggies. Dead froggies are not metame. They're not one of the Shmona Shratzim. Only Shmona Shratzim are metame. But there may be one dead lizard mixed up with them, and, you know, just looks on the surface very similar. I just see the legs of the froggies and the legs of the lizard, and I don't know which one I touched. Naga be'echad be'em ve'ini yodea be'ezim em naga, so sveiko tame. So you see from here that even though you've got nine froggies, you still have to go lechumra and be tame. I know that, for heaven's sakes. I asked you where we know lekula. Don't bring me another raya that we go lechumra, for heaven's sakes. How did he know lekula? No. That's the opposite case where we have nine lizards, dead lizards, and one froggy. That's the same case, basically, where over there it says, if you don't know which one you touched, so then you don't go according to the rov. The halakha over there is that the laws of Tumah, remember, which include a difference between, which we learn out from Sota, a difference from Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim, defined not as it is in Shabbat, but by the number of people present, as it is by Sota. So over there, we view this as an even 50-50 doubt, which therefore falls into the next determinative issue, which is where. Why do we look at it as a 50-50? Why don't we paskin according to the rov? And why do we say that if it's in Rishus HaRabim, it's Tahar? Obviously because the fact that it was Kavu. Sorry, Kavu, I turned it into 50-50. There you go. So you see from there, even Lekula, in which if it occurred in his Rishus HaRabim, we can go Lekula because of Kokavua. That's where Rebbe Zera got it from. Okay, now that's a perfectly wonderful raya. Yeah, I mean, it is, but all you've done is pushed it back by a couple of generations, okay? But how does the Bryson know that that's true? Where in the Torah did it ever say anything about the difference between kavua and non-kavua, legabe the din of rov? That's what I really want to know. So midiraita minola. Well, the Torah says, in a case where somebody commits murder, so it says over there, v'chiyel ish sonei l're'eu. If somebody hates his friend, yes, so he's sonei l're'eu, v'aravlo, and now he lies in wait for him, and then he shoots him. So then the first step is he runs to one of the Ari Miklat, and then we take him to Besdin and so on, right? Now, what in the world is all of this business? Why don't you just say if somebody killed someone? No, he hates him, and he's lying in wait for him. And I'm like, oh, I mean, what's all of this narrative over here, which is totally irrelevant? So now Rabbi Shimon, he says that we learn from here that if you want to kill one person and you miss and you kill another person, so Rabbi Shimon says, you see from here that if you want to kill one and niskaven aragazeh, you're potter because it says you have to be focused on killing him. Okay, but what about the Rabbanan? Who don't hold that? They hold Miskavin Aragazev Aragazez Chayev. So what did they do with all of this extra narrative? Rabbanan, Amidevei Rabbi Yonai. This is the part that's important to us. It's coming to tell me that somebody who takes a shot at a bunch of people and he has no idea whether he's shooting a Jew or a Kanani, he ends up killing a Jew. So it's saying that taking that shot, since there was a chance that he wasn't going to kill a Jew, so therefore he's potter. So that would mean that in the case, somehow he's potter. So what's the case? If the case is that there were nine goyim and one Jew, why do I need the pasuk? Why don't we just say, since rubar knanim, so memela, we cannot say that he was Chayev Misa because maybe he didn't do anything to kill specifically a Jew. And for that, probably taking a shot is not a good case because it's very specific because you usually take aim. So the Gemara is talking about where you throw a rock down there. You don't know who you're going to hit. So, okay. So that would be because of the rov. And even if it was Palga the Palga, we don't need a pussy to tell me that I'm not going to take someone and kill him in Besdin because of the fact that he killed a Jew who was mixed with Chamishim v'Chamishim. It was a 50-50 chance because it's a Suffolk Nefashas. And by Suffolk Nefashas, we always go Lekula. If there's grounds, how do we know that? Because it says V'hitzilu ha'eda. that Beis Din is supposed to rescue a guy from, in a capital case, from a Chiyuv Misa. So therefore, there is no basis for us to say, let's be Mechayev him on the fact that there was a 50-50 chance. No, Vitzilu Aida. So that means that the act that the person did was not an act of killing a Jew. So I wouldn't need a pasuk. Therefore, the pasuk must be coming to tell me an immense chiddush, namely, that even though we have rov ruba de ruba, we have 99 Jews and one Kenani, that the idea is that if the Kenani is kavua in that place, ko kavua almerza almerza dami, even to be makel on him. Now, Itmar, getting back to our Mishnah. Now we're back in the issues we're talking about before, and we're finished discussing this idea of kavua. So, Reb Chiya bar Ashi, Omar Rab, the halacha is like Reb Yossi. Reb Yossi was the one in the Mishnah who said, listen, what Reb Yochanan ben Nuri said is that as long as you have a rove that is kosher, so then she's kosher. Now, we know from the whole discussion we had before that this is only where we had also the other rove with the Winnebagoes and all of that. But the Gemara doesn't know this at this point. The Gemara is naive about this. So the Gemara just takes this particular case and considers this to be a raya that it's enough to have the rove. Okay? So in that case, we need to ask ourselves, why would this be true? So he's saying, we're going to get back to it in a moment, that this is going Aliba de Rabbi Yossi, and it would be okay. Reb Chanan bar Rava Omar Rav says, you misunderstand anyway the entire issue. The halacha over here that Reb Yochanan ben Nuri issued was a hora'at sha'ah. We don't know exactly what happened, but because it's a ma'aseh shahaya, the point of the Mishnah is not to be koveya, the halacha ledorot. The point of the Mishnah is to tell us that in the event that it is necessary for whatever other issues are going on, and there's always additional components that a posek has to take into consideration, so that for a posek to know that this idea of ma'aleh asul biyuchasim is not an absolute, and that if you can find a way out to be mitzarif with other svaras, then you can ignore it like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri did, that's an important yesod, but the Mishnah was not coming, and that's exactly why it left out all of the details. It doesn't tell us anything about what he was relying on. That's the whole point. Don't you see that the Mishnah is leaving you totally in the dark about all of the circumstances? That could only be because the point of the Mishnah was not to be koveya the halacha. That's the halacha here, that it was applied ad hoc in terms of hora'at sha'ah. So now getting back to Reb Chiya bar Ashi, who said that Rav Paskin straight out like Reb Yossi, huh? You're telling me that he just accepted a single rove? I thought we need two roves, didn't we say? What about the case? There's like this famous case about finding a baby in a basket. Okay, now this is a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Makshirin. And it says over there, if you find a baby in a garbage bin, which unfortunately happens even today, so then the assumption has to be somebody is trying to get rid of the evidence. In which case, we have to assume that the baby is a mamzer. But if you find a baby all tidied up in a basket, left on a doorstep, so then you don't have to be chayshish that the child is a mamzer, but it depends on the population about is the child Jewish. That's a different question. So matzah batinok mushlach im rov avdei kochavim oved kochavim im rov Yisrael Yisrael mechza mechza Yisrael. So now we have three different statuses that are defined here. We don't know exactly what it means, but obviously there's a difference between a mechzal mechzal Yisrael and a rov Yisrael Yisrael, because otherwise we should just say half and half Yisrael. What do we mention even a whole? Fine, that we'll get to. Why are there three different states? Now, Rav said over there that this halacha, that we treat him as a Jew if we have the rov, that's only benogea l'hachayotot. So over there it says v'chei achicha ima really says, and therefore, okay, we're mechuyev to take care of him. But we certainly are not going to allow him to be assumed Jewish and to go ahead and for Yuchasin to marry, right? But leYuchasin lo, so we will not allow us to follow this, maybe follow this robe, or follow Mechza, which we'll have to look for later when we get to it. And Shmuel says that the issue is he's even a Jew in terms of lefakeach alav et hagal. Even if we need to save him from a building's collapse on Shabbos, and he's in that building, we're going to be mechalel Shabbos in order to save his life, which is mashma, only if there's a rove will do that, which the Gemara is going to ask later. It's not true. Alone, you're falling asleep. Wake up. Give it full attention. All right, so now that's what it's talking about. But what concerns me right now is Rav. Rav says that if you've got a rove, it's not enough for Yichus. That's what he said. It's only enough to be mechuyev to be mechayehim. So how could the same Rav who says that for Yichus we're not going to be semech on the rove, how could he say over here that you just paskin that Rav says that Rabbi Yossi is right about Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that if you have a rove, that's good enough? And Rav himself says that's not good enough in the Mishnah Machshirin. Nah, come on, Rabbi Yirmiya. We just had a whole discussion over here that, of course, it doesn't mean one rove. You mean you forgot that whole thing? Ishtamitate, he didn't know what Rabbi Yudom Rav explained, that this whole story of the famous rape in Sipori was talking about Mais Bikronochot Sipori Avi Maisa. So therefore, on the contrary, it works out perfectly good. Rabbi Chiya Barashi is quoting Rav, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that one rove is not enough, but two roves are enough. What's your problem? It works perfectly. Okay, now, Rabbi Chanan bar Rava was not happy with that. Rabbi Chanan bar Rava said, no, this is a Hora Shah. What do you mean it's a Hora Shah? So then if it's a Hora Shah, what would the normal din have been? What are you saying? So then what you're saying is that it's a special case. But that normally, what's the special case? That normally we would have said that with two roves, what? With one rove, you're saying? Because you're saying that normally we would allow you to have a yichus even with one rove. But the fact that it was Bikrona Shal Tzipori, and that's the only way to understand it, means that because of our rasha, we demanded two roves. That's backwards. So then how did Rav say that if you find a baby, that one rove is not enough? No, for God's sake, it's not that these two things were set together. If you learn it's a rasha, it's because you didn't have the whole idea of Krono Shel Tzipori. And if you're learning Krono Shel Tzipori, then obviously you don't need the rasha. Don't try putting them together to get the opposite result. Man demasneha, Rav Chanan bar Rava, who says that this is not the halacha normally, obviously didn't understand what Rav had said, that it's Bikrona Shel Tzipori. But if you're learning Bedavka that it is Bikrona Shel Tzipori, then it's not a rasha. Don't take it both ways. Anyway, just want to know, by the way, I mean, Shmuel. I didn't understand Shmuel. Motzeh batinok mushlach. So he said, you find a baby in a basket. Imrov of the kachovim, Imrov Yisrael, Mechza Yisrael, and Rav said that this has been Ogea, being Mechayim, so we give tzedakah for him, we take care of him, Avalu Yuchasim lo. Whereas Shmuel says, it's Lefakeach es Hagal. So what is he trying to say, Shmuel? That we will only be Mechalal Shabbos to bring in a bulldozer to get off the collapsed building from this person in the event that they have a rov Yisrael. But that's not true. Shmuel himself paskins that we do not take any risks, and even if there's only a tiny chance, 1 out of 1,000, he's the only Jew in the whole city, will still be Mechal Shabbos. Because remember that Shmuel said, as we said before, Om Rav Yosef, Om Rav Yudom Shmuel, Ein Holchin Bebikuach Nefesh Achar Arov. So how could Shmuel have said he's a Jew in terms of Chilul Shabbos? Of course he's a Jew in terms of Chilul Shabbos. Not because it's a Rov. Anything. Whoa, of course. Shmuel must have been talking about the first part of the Mishnah. What he meant to say was, you said if most of them are Goyim, so then you assume he's Goyim. Shmuel said, now hold on a minute. When it comes to Lefakech HaLavetagal, that's not true. That's what he was saying. You confused it with being a response to Rav. It was just making certain that no one would make a mistake and think that we need a rove in order to save someone's life on Shabbos. Okay, so what does it mean? So now, according to Shmuel, what do the words Yimrov of the Kochavim, what's it nogea? Since obviously we misunderstood you. So what exactly is it nogea at all, Rov Yisrael? Omer of Papa, no, that's coming to tell me. Ahalacha lahachzir lo aveda, that we would return an aveda to him. So a Jew finds the aveda, and he says, this guy may not be Jewish. And if he's not Jewish, then I don't have to return the aveda to him. Now, there's another very important issue here, Rabosai, which has such vast implications for our lives that I cannot, even though I said I was going to try to hurry, and Ira's sitting there sharpening his knives. Hopefully he's only looking at the chickens. But there is such an incredibly important issue here that I have to mention it. The idea is not merely to return an aveda to him because of the suffix, well, you know, motzi mechavero, all of araya. So, okay, so what are we going to say? Go give him back his aveda. The din of giving an aveda back to a goy is a major iser. Not stam, we don't have to. As Tosrus says, it's an iser chomor. Not stam an iser. Iser godol. Why? Because amazingly, olav akatuv omer. It's like the end of the klola is that this is what you want to do? That you want to add now all of your shagogos to your horrible mezidim? This is what you want to do? Why? Because he is saying that in his mind, there's no difference between the chashivas of Yisrael and the chashivas of a goy. And because of that, what's the end of the pasuk? Lo yoveh Hashem slach lo. God's never going to forgive him for that. That is an unbelievable smack in the face to the whole idea of liberalism and how nice it is. And we have to, you know, just be nice to people. What do you care? So now the poor guy lost something. Give it back to him, for heaven's sakes. Be kind to him. If the inyonim of the Torah are defined by the Torah, and where it is that we don't say finders, keepers, losers, weepers, which you would normally say if you're a goy, and that we follow the dinim of the Torah, that you're mechuyev to be machzir. So now you're going to say, but we're all moral today, and we all have the same sense of right and wrong in exactly the same way. The elu hamishpatim, asher tasim lifneihem velo lifnei akum, lo yoveh Hashem sloach lo. You hear what this is saying? Oven Godalhu. So therefore, we need a big chiddush that you're allowed to practice some level of tolerance on this idea that we need to be expressive of a regular din of simply respecting human beings. That's very dangerous. Now, obviously, there's another halacha, which is most of the time applicable, which is that if as a result of your returning an aveda, it turns out that you're making a Kiddush Hashem and people see that Jews are honest. That's, of course, that's a mitzvah. But otherwise, that you're following the dictates of your heart, this is shrirut libi. I'm just going to be hilach b'shrirut libi. I feel bad to keep something from a person. What do I care if he's Jewish, not Jewish? Are you following the dinim of the Torah or b'shrirut libi aleich? That's the thing. And that's where it occurs. That's where this pasuk is said. Okay, so then, I think that's an astounding thing. Mamish is astounding. It runs so counter to the Shrirut HaLev that all of us take for granted today. Okay, so anyway, getting back to the Gemara, excuse me for the interruption. It's an amazing thing. So therefore, what we're saying over here is Bedavka talking about giving him back an Aveda. That's what we were referring to. And therefore, we now understand what it was that Shmuel was saying. Okay, so this is indeed Omar Shmuel, Lefakech Alav Zekal. Eino Kein, what did we get up to? Lachzirlo Aveda. Did I mention Lachilo Nevelot? I think I skipped Rav Papa. I think so. Rav Papa said that when we say he's an Ovik HaChavim, it's that we're allowed to feed him biyadayim nevelas. That's the point. And in Rov Yisrael, it's Lachzirlo Aveda. And so what's the difference between Rov Yisrael and Mechzal Mechzal, which is also Yisrael? Omer Reish Lakish, that means he's a Yisrael even Benogea paying damages. Because remember that when it comes to Nezikin of Ashur, so if it's an Ovik HaChavim, he pays Nezek Sholem even on a Tam. And if it's a Yisrael who is Mazik and Akum, he doesn't pay anything. So what's the case? Echidami. So what happened over here? Avada Yisrael Shor, gored a Shor of this Suffolk Jew. So then he can say, can't he? Bring a raya that you're Jewish, and I'll be happy to pay you. But I mean, what happened to Motzi Mechaver Olav Araya? Ella must be talking about Lotricha. What is the case? The case must be the Nachi Ture Didei Leture Didan. So this kid, this child, when he grows up, we don't know who he is. So what it's saying is that even if it was Mechza al Mechza, that over there, he only pays half as if he were a Jew. And when you say, well, I don't know that you're a Jew, you're a Goy as far as I'm concerned. Half of the town were Goyim. Omar lo, Aite Raya de Lav Yisrael. Excuse me, you want me to pay up? Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. Bring me a Raya that I'm not a Jew, and then I'm happy to pay you the rest. Now the question is Richie available? Because Doc has been sitting here all day. And if he doesn't jump into it, Adran Allah Betula Nis 8. And so there's Doc right next to you. Zoom knew that this was Mechza al Mechza, who was going to be Zeicha, and lost again. It's a good thing that he's so tolerant and kind, Doc, let me tell you. Okay, tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, we get into a whole major new sugya, Hapesh Asar, Hapesh Itir, which basically is a new theme that we haven't spoken about. We've talked about all of these cases where we have external evidence of an event. And so I fail my first day of my, I only have 1 week left. I fail my first day, Tyra, and he's getting more and more, oh boy. All right, we'll see how we go. Was it Barnea? I think it was Barnea who gave me a week.
Yes, your gadol, but when you get this, where's the pasuk? Who brings the pasuk of Shirat Libo? Who brings the pasuk of Shirat Libo?
God does.
No, that's not really the pasuk of the Tosfos, but not.
Well, Tosfos isn't quoting the whole Parsha, but God does. That's the whole thing that we ask over there. You know, maybe somebody thinks he can get away with murder. Right? So it's Mamish, a description of Shrirut Halev. Isn't that unbelievable? Oh, one of the most shocking and difficult to internalize. It's absolutely shocking. Ovein Godo. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful day.
Rabbi, it is now 40 years since we came to Eretz Israel.
Today's the day?
No, we were here already for Shabbos and Betamas. But this month, we missed it. I think in 10 years, we made a home to Sibo with the Charleses.
Yeah, yes, yes.
We missed it. Right? It's now 40 years. Hello, Davar.
40 years. Wow. Yeah. Amazing. Okay. That's a long time. That's amazing. Passed like nothing. For me, it's 60 years since I came to Eretz Yisrael. You imagine? It's nuts. Okay, what can you do? Richie, for you too, I think. You arrived in On 70. No, when you first came to Ein Gev.
That was 67, but I first came to Ein Gev in 63.
Ah, okay, so we're up there together. Yeah, I came in 62. But, okay, good. Wonderful. Cult of... Oh, Sir Richard! Bye, everybody.